This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Lisa Stanley, your Rent-A-Yenta, and on today's podcast, What Goes On Around Here, we have Jordan Ogron. And he is an owner, managing partner of a hot new restaurant, I must say, right here in Hollywood, called Tess, a French bistro that is the home to many celebrities. And better yet, he's a wine guru. Hello, Z. At only 32 years old, he's in the big league right here in Hollywood. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for getting up early. I guess if you're in the restaurant business, you stay out late, right?
That's right. We go to bed late, that's for sure.
What time do you usually go to bed at?
Between 2 and 3. A.M.
And what time do you usually wake up?
Around 9 a.m.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We don't sleep much in our world.
Is that right?
That's right.
9 a.m. And what's the first thing that you have to do restaurant related when you get up in the day?
Check my emails.
That's it?
That's about it.
So you're not involved with like the chef part of the where they go, they pick up the fresh food, they bring. You don't have to do that. You're just doing the wines and running the business part.
That's right. Yeah, okay. The operation side.
Okay. So tell us, because I love your story. Tell us where you grew up, about your family, and about what you used to do. And still, keep in mind, you're only 32. Tell everybody.
Yeah. So I grew up in Las Vegas. Both my parents were lawyers and,
brothers, sisters.
Yeah. I have two half sisters.
Okay.
Yeah. Both my parents divorced when I was young. So
welcome to the world.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I got to, really just see a lot of, you know, kind of two sides of the world. My mom wasn't. She kind of lived paycheck to paycheck, I guess you could say. And my dad...
As do most Americans,
right.
But okay.
And my dad was a pretty prominent lawyer in Vegas at the time, representing some of the big wigs in Vegas. So I got to really grow up humble, I guess you can say, and saw, you know, understood what it was like to kind of have a little bit of money and then not have any money at all, kind of seeing both sides of it. And so I got my passion... for what I do now, kind of from my dad. My dad was a little bit of a wine collector, still is. And he loves and still does to this day, going out to restaurants and
foodie family.
Exactly.
My favorite.
Exactly. And so, my dad used to allow me to try some wine, you know, since I was really a kid, like 4 or 5 years old. And so I just developed a palate and a passion for food and wine.
In France, they let the kids drink at birth. It's in the baby bottle, okay? So I'm just saying, for me, I don't have children, but if I did, the first thing I would have introduced them is to a good Bordeaux or a good cab.
Exactly.
So I love your dad for doing that with you.
And he used to always say, I'll give you $100 if you... try this or try that. And
in just in wines or in foods too? Because you're very passionate with your food as
it
well.
It was mainly food.
Oh, and what was,
I was a very picky eater as a kid.
What was the first thing he paid you to eat? Do you remember?
Oh, no, I don't. But it could have been anything. If it wasn't buttered pasta, it was a bribe to get me to try something.
It's so true, though. Every child in America, what do you want for dinner? Noodles with butter. Noodles
Can
with
I tell
butter.
You, though, that like only kids know that because of the parents. And so like... when I have kids one day, they're not even going to know what that is. They're not going to know what candy is. They're not going to know what ice cream is.
Well, when you come from the restaurant world, so when did your passion for food really take over?
I have to say when I got my first job in the industry in downtown with John Sedler and my partner now, Bill Chait at Rivera.
Oh, Bill Chait is something else, isn't he? Yeah. That guy. Wow, you really hooked up with some great, great people. But you did something before food. Tell everybody what it was
you did. You're going to pull this out of me, aren't
I
you?
I am, because I think it's the best story ever,
yeah,
Jordan.
Yeah, so I used to be an opera singer.
Hello!
I did, yeah.
I won't ask you because you probably can't do it this early in the morning, can you? A little? A little just something?
I actually warmed up this morning.
Just you did?
I had a feeling this might happen.
Knowing Lisa, she has everything.
I do. I really do. Okay, so did you have grandparents growing up?
Of course.
That you were close with?
Yes.
So was your grandmother a cook? Because you know how you hear some kids say, I hung out at grandma's house and we would make sauces and we would... Did any of that go down?
Well, it's funny because I had a very different relationship with each one of my grandparents. So one of my grandmothers was the one that kind of got me into the whole musical theater opera world. And
was she in the opera world?
No, she just had a passion for it.
And so would she just say, Jordan, I want you to learn how to sing opera?
Well, no, she actually would take me to a show and I would, you know, one after the other all the time. So ever since I was, you know, a kid, like 4 or 5. And I just found a love for it. And, you know, I think the first show I ever saw was Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat and then Annie. And I was just stuck on those two for God only knows how many years. And
did you take opera lessons?
I did. Yeah. And I actually, funny enough, when I was in high school, I started at a high school that only had about 50, 60 students. It had just opened. It was a private school. And
in Las Vegas?
In Orange County.
Oh, here.
Yeah,
you
I had moved to Orange County
then.
For high school.
Okay.
Yeah. And this wonderful girl came up to me who ended up being a mentor throughout my singing career. And she said, you know, we need some people to join the chorus, the choir. And she heard me singing in the hallway. And back then, I was like a little like teeny bopper
like
with
a pop
like
singer?
Yeah, like Justin Timberlake kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Loved NSYNC, Backstreet Boys growing up, and
call on us, we did too.
and so she was like, you know, I think maybe you should join the choir and maybe even get some classical music lessons that would help you. And so I was like, okay, sure, why not? So I went to her voice teacher at the time. This was about 15 years ago now. I don't know, yeah, 13 to 15 years ago, and. And so I go to the voice lesson and I learn, you know, some great things from the vocal coach. And she comes up with this cockamamie idea at the end of the lesson. And she says, you know what? I think that to kind of get like an expedited, you know, to go through the expedited learning process quickly, I think that you have some true talent. I think you should go to Tanglewood, which is in the Berkshires, Tanglewood, Boston University Tanglewood Institute. And so.
That's serious.
Yeah.
That's so the real deal.
I didn't know what I was getting myself into. So she. She told me, she's like, we're going to prepare this one song, you make a recording, and you go to Tanglewood, if you get in. So I made the recording, sent it in, and I get a phone call, you know, whatever, a month or two later, and they said, we would love to have you.
And not
only that, we want you to do the opening number for the welcome concert as a solo. So...
Wow, getting thrown into the fire.
Talk about getting thrown into the fire. So so that's kind of how I started the whole singing thing and really had to train how to be an opera singer because I was very poppy and very musical theater, which is musical theater still
what
more my passion.
What does that take to train? You know, I lived next door when I was a kid to an opera singer.
Oh.
And every morning I would hear, nay, 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 nay. And I was like, what is happening over there? But then after all that, all that stuff,
yep.
What would come out of this woman's lungs was amazing to me. She would tell me, because I would ask her, it's all in the breathing. Is
right.
that what you?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't get to know your body, it's very hard to sing, especially in the opera world.
And what is the difference between your singing your pop versus your opera?
Well, pop is more like chest and using your actual voice, and opera, the only way you can get up to those high notes
is
using your diaphragm and understanding how to use your air. And
so that it does take a lot of training. Okay, so now you decide that you really don't want to be an opera singer, but you want to be in the restaurant business. Now, how does that happen?
Well, they go hand in hand, don't they?
Well, I don't know, unless you're opening a singing restaurant, which there have been many
right.
of them.
No, I just decided that, you know, my dad, a very smart businessman, had always taught me always have a backup plan, you know, but always focus on the first plan, but always have a backup plan. So at USC, I studied business as well as vocal performance, so I always had a backup plan. And because I love the business world, but I wanted to choose something that I kind of already had the vocabulary for, which was the food industry.
Food and wine.
And so, you know, growing up, you know, with a collector in my dad and all of his friends and listening to them talk about wine, my real knowledge behind wine is just really my palate because I haven't
You mean
really...
you didn't go to school for
mm-hmm.
any of that?
No.
So it's just innate in you.
I guess.
I mean, but, yeah. It definitely is. And watching you at work, you see it's very passionate for you, that you're not just there pouring bottles and stuff. But I see you really, when I was there, watching you pick the right wines, looking at the lay. I mean, I took notice of how you took notice of everything, which I think is a credit to how much you really do love what you do. So what was your first job in the restaurant industry, your first paid job?
Yeah, so I was hired at Rivera by Bill Che and John Sedler. And at the time, they had hired Stephen Geddes, who's a master somm, I think, still based in Las Vegas. And they had hired me to kind of open the restaurant with him. He was hired to write the wine list and get it going, and then he'd head back to Vegas. But they hired me because they liked the passion that I had for it, and they figured, you know, especially back in 2008 when the economy wasn't so wonderful, they figured that they could save a whole bunch of money by hiring this kid, pay him nothing, and for the most part, right. $8 an hour for Oy. All of you old ones out there that used to know what that was like. So I worked, 8 hours a day for $8 an hour and learned as much as I could. And as soon as kind of Steven had signed off and went back to Vegas, I kind of took over the list and had an idea for it. And when we opened, there was 120 wines on the list. And I had a vision, and I just said, you know, I'm going to take this list to the next level as we go forward here. And by the time I had left, which was almost 2 years later, the wine list had been comprised of over 400 different Tempranillos.
Wow.
And then about 50 Malbecs and other wines from the Southern Hemisphere.
That you put together.
That I had put together.
So you never had to, like, wait on tables or bus tables or do any of that kind of grunt
no,
work?
No, I made a decision when I was young that I didn't want to do that. I guess,
okay.
You know, if there's one piece of advice that I can, you know, leave for anybody out there, it's have in your brain what you will and will not do and stick to it. And so for me, it was, you know,
as I imagine they tried to get you to do some of that, right?
They had suggested it, but I just wasn't down for that.
Good.
I knew that wine was my passion and that's what I wanted to focus on. And really the way I got the job was, trust me, you know, give me a chance. It's only $8 an hour. It's not like you're investing a whole bunch of money
right.
into somebody, you know? So it was kind of like a prove it kind of thing. And so, and still to this day, now that I'm an owner of a restaurant, I still.
At 32 years old, that is such a huge, do you not know how big of a deal that is? That at 32 years old, look where you are. People don't get there their whole life.
Well, I mean, it's persistence. And I've been, you know, ever since I started my whole career, I guess you can say, I've just been so persistent. I don't take no for an answer and I push hard and it's led me this far. But, you know.
How do you do that? How do you go from working and putting together wine lists to being a partner, managing partner / owner? Do you have to put in a lot of money to do that or just a lot of time and knowledge?
You have to be a good person. And I honestly think that I am and very honest person, you know, and so I tell people the way it is, whether they want to hear it or not. You know, I hear so many people say, oh, don't say that, you know, it might hurt their feelings. You know, don't say that, they shouldn't hear that. It's like, yes, if it's the truth, they should hear it. You know,
see, we get along great,
period.
Yeah.
You know, and I always learn that sometimes the truth hurts, but the truth also helps you grow. And so, you know, I've surrounded myself, which was another piece of advice that I was given when I was super young, was surround yourself with three or four really good mentors. And if you listen to them and keep your eyes and ears open at all times, you might get someplace.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, you clearly did.
And that's what I've done. And it's, you know, super important.
What was your first restaurant that you opened up as manager partner? This is it. Tessa's number. Your baby.
Yeah. Well, I felt like when I opened Bestia in downtown, I felt like I was a partner.
Bestia is one of the best restaurants.
Yes.
It is the Bestia. It is so fabulous. It's a little loud, but it's the food is off the charts.
Yeah, it is.
You did a great job with that one
thanks.
As well.
And Ori and I were really, you know, he made me feel like I was a partner there, and Bill was a part owner there too. And so it was great to be a part of that because I feel like we have that and even more now at Tess.
So now with Tess, your day-to-day job with them is?
Everything.
Take us through a day. I mean, people that are interested in maybe following in your footsteps or being involved in the wine business, take us through your day. Like, I know, like, a chef goes down and gets the fresh food. Do you go to wine tasting? What do you do? How do you?
Sure, yeah. So every day is different. And because now I'm the owner, I mean, I kind of wear every hat at this point. And I'm also now the general manager of the restaurant, so now I deal with staff. I don't do much ordering. That's for the kitchen. But in regards to wine tastings, you know, not every day, but sometimes throughout the day we have our vendors come. I work with over 150 vendors, which is kind of great, just for wine. That doesn't include liquor or food.
Are you in charge of liquor, too?
No.
Else to do that.
Nick Meyer and Julian run the bar program.
Okay,
but
good.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Is right.
I do have one question.
Sure.
Yeah. What's your favorite wine?
Ooh, I don't like that question.
Because you know only, what? There are too many.
Only
too
because
many.
There's too many. If it's hot, can I give you varietal? Let's
yes,
do that. So
yes.
When it's hot outside, I love a good, partially buttery Chardonnay. I do love California Chard more than Burgundy, but it's so hard. There's so
winter,
many good ones.
A winter day.
On a winter day, probably a Napa Cab or a Barolo. You know,
I think
or,
you served me a Barolo.
I did, yeah.
I think you did. That was delicious.
And actually, I helped, in a way, blend that one. And it's actually called the Boutellier Barolo, which is named after our wine store.
Well, I smell something coming. Your own wines. You can't call it Jordan because there's already a Jordan. But you can have your own wine, maybe with your last name.
Yeah, I have a bunch of friends that are winemakers. And so we actually have a wine coming out in a few months that I've been working on. Wow. So. Yeah.
That's such the obvious, Jordan.
Well, I mean we got to keep pushing, right?
I mean, you just got to do it. Okay, so tell people about Tess, because it's not just the restaurant. You have a little cafe, you have the
right.
wine store, the little bakery, right? You have
yeah.
all. Tell people when they come. And by the way, you guys, it's on the Sunset Strip. It is the coolest area next door to Fred Siegel's, my favorite.
Yeah.
It's just a really cool vibe inside of there. And also, I want to talk to you about your bone luge.
Yeah.
I know that sounds nasty, you guys, but it's really not a nasty thing. Then you shove that bone down my throat. So I know that sounds terrible. It was the best thing ever. Will you tell people about that?
Well, the flavor is quite the sexual experience since you've gone that far. So let me tell you about Tess. So as you said, Tess is on the Sunset Strip on the corner of Sunset and La Cienega, right next to the new Fred Siegel.
Yes.
Which is actually the only real Fred Siegel
that
in LA.
That is it. It's the old Fred Siegel, which changed locations.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And so Tess is short for the word delicatesse, which is the way that chef's grandmother's generation referred to as charcuterie. So in France, they say delicatesse instead of charcuterie. So that's what Tess is short for.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the reason, obviously, that it's called Tess is we focus on a massive delicatesse program. So we have over 30 house-made different kinds of charcuterie and pâtés and terrines that are just absolutely delicious. Chef is so talented.
Yeah, and by the way, he stands at that line.
The pass, yeah.
Yeah, at the pass and watches everything and brings out stuff. He's very much involved.
Yeah, he loves to run food. He loves to talk to all the guests.
He did. He was giving me, he was telling me that it was his grandmother's recipes.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes.
And actually, the menu is comprised of a ton of family recipes. Some are his grandmother's, some are his mother's. He has this pork belly dish that's not on right now, but it'll go back on in the winter. That was his father's recipe. So.
Do you get involved in planning the food, or you leave all of that to him?
I leave all that to him.
Good.
Yeah, you don't mess with
right.
talent like that. So,
right.
And then we have another, and he's a partner as well. And then we have another partner that's our executive pastry chef, which I know that you've tried some of the desserts and
sure
love them.
I sure did.
Sally Camacho Mueller, and she has more of an LA background. Raphael is from Europe. Was born in Tournai and raised in Corsica, and kind of cooked all throughout Paris and London. And then Sally has a little bit more of an LA following, and. She had a big history with Wolfgang Puck and
yes.
also in the hotel industry
she
as well.
She worked with Sherry Yard.
Exactly.
Yes.
And so I have what I consider to be a powerhouse duo of chefs, extremely talented, and the food is so good.
It really is.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What else can I tell you? I mean, we strive to not only give a consistent food experience, but we also focus on really good service.
Tell us about the difference between the restaurant, the little bistro, because there is two separate places,
we have a,
correct?
Yeah, so attached to Fred Siegel, we have a cafe, Tess Cafe and Bakery, where we serve a whole bunch of different kind of coffee cocktails, we call them. So we have special coffee, how do you want to say it? I guess cocktails. I can't think of another word. Obviously,
coffee drinks,
specialty coffee drinks. Yeah, and they're incredible. And then there's some influence, obviously, still from one of our chefs. Sally makes all the vanilla syrup and the honey syrup, and so she uses these Madagascar vanilla beans that are crazy expensive, but it makes just makes the coffee taste delicious. Especially in the vanilla latte, which is my favorite. And then we serve lunch over there too. So,
does Tess serve lunch?
Yeah,
Tess does as well.
Oh, no, not the restaurant.
No, the bakery.
The bakery, yeah, okay. The cafe and bakery.
Okay. You're only open for dinner, correct?
Correct, yeah. And brunch on weekends.
And brunch. Yeah. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, brunch on weekends.
That's good to know. Okay, so...
And then we have the wine store.
And then the wine store. Tell us about the wine store.
So wine store was kind of like a last-minute addition, and I decided to do it because not only is it our wine store, which I'll get to in a second to the whole story, but it's also our private dining room. So how cool is it that you can have a group of 50 that sits in a
it's
room
like a wine
surrounded
cellar.
By wine?
It's a really cool room.
Yeah, and there's a cool Oculus. It's just a really cool room.
Yeah, it really is a cool room.
And so in regards to the wine store, it's called Boutellier, and Boutellier was the officer in charge of the king's wine in 17th, 18th century France, so he was the only guy that had a key to the cellar. So that's why our logo, if you've seen it, is the key. And so in that vein, most of our inventory in that store is in some kind of way exclusive. And so I have, over the years, developed amazing relationships with a lot of wineries throughout the world and have things that you just... One, don't see online, which is very different nowadays, but also that you don't see in other stores, especially in LA. So that's what we focus
on. That's how you separate yourself.
Yeah, and that also doesn't mean that it's expensive. We have bottles that are $15
a piece. Because are competing. There are other places in town that just sell wine with their,
Yeah, but ours is an experience. Like, and I just have a personal thing. Like, I hate cardboard, so you'll never see cardboard in our store. And so I wanted to elevate the guest experience. Like, when you walk in, you get a glass of champagne while you're shopping around. And you don't have to grab any bottles. You grab a wood tag. Every single wine has its own laser engraved wood tag.
And can you buy the bottle? We didn't do this because you were pouring different wines. That's the other thing I want you to talk about is it's a little, you'll be taken aback for a minute because the wine glass will come and you'll go, did you spill it on the way here, ma'am? because it is only 3 ounces of wine. And tell everyone why you do that.
So the 3 ounce pour is something I'm super passionate about because everyone in LA nowadays, most restaurants, I'd say probably 95% of restaurants, it's all center of the table sharing. So my thought was, well, if you're going to share food, why should you be stuck to, 6 ounce glass of wine? And by the time you go through that glass, you'll have had 5 or 6 dishes, at that point, unless you are an alcoholic and drink really fast. But but other than that, my thought was, let's pour half glasses and then you can try, a sparkling and then a white and a rosé and a red and have much more of a complete experience.
It's like experience. A wine tasting experience during your dinner with just regular drinks from the bar.
Yeah.
Right?
Without being invasive. Because if you just choose, 3, 4, or 5 wines, which is like 2 regular glasses, then, we just bring them to you in succession and you can try different things as you go throughout your meal.
And you can buy a bottle of wine from the wine store and have it served to you in the restaurant during your dinner, correct?
Yeah, correct. And so you can go into the wine store and get
pick
a bottle.
Out your wine.
And we just charge a $15 corkage.
So, even though you buy it in the store, you still charge them to open it.
Yeah. Which other places charge $30 or $40 to do
that? Oh, dude, but I was at a restaurant the other night, and we did not know. They did say there's a corkage fee. Well, duh, everybody has a corkage fee. And I understand when they charge high corkage fee. Hey, you got a ton of wine in your restaurant. You want to sell your wine.
Yeah.
But this was $65 for corkage.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that's ridiculous, don't you think?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Good thing I had a $100 bottle with me, because I would have been really mad if it was one of my inexpensive bottles.
Exactly.
And the guy goes, $65. And he didn't say it's $65. He just said, you are aware there's a corkage fee, right?
Right. And so, like, the other thing is, too, is, like, over the years, I've had, like, people bring in a bottle of Yellowtail, you know, which is like
$5.
It's like $5 a bottle,
but then they
pay a $30 corkage.
Why?
But I've told them, I'm like, please don't make me open this and like charge you $30 for a $5 bottle of wine. So it's like, so nowadays, like, I have wines that are, you know, $40 on our list. So like, spend the few extra bucks and get a really good wine.
Right.
Versus like, you know, $5 plus 30.
That's just crazy.
It's just painful to see, like, this is wine you're supposed to cook with, not drink.
And yes, so, exactly.
Hopefully I won't get sued by Yellowtail now, but I'm just saying, it's just an example.
You won't, but it is true.
Yeah.
It is true. I mean, look, come on, it's common sense. If the wine's $5, you don't want to spend $35 to open it.
Right, exactly.
All right, speaking of the wine, and back to our bone luge, because wine is involved in the bone luge, tell everybody, A, what it is, B, how you came up with it, and what the hell did you pour down my throat?
So before we opened the restaurant, you know, Chef and I obviously had a lot of conversations because he cooks with feeling and thoughts and passion, obviously. And so he doesn't really plan anything out. He'll have a thought in his head about ingredients that go together. And then if I'm around, he'll tell me his ideas. So before we had opened the restaurant, he had come up with this, what he calls the French version of a carbonara. And so, which we still have on the menu, it's by far the most popular dish.
What is
it? It's bucatini with bone marrow. And so,
did we have that? Did I order? Did I have?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But you had to have if you had the bone marrow.
No, you just...
Yeah, the bone luge, I mean.
Oh, and I guess one of us must have
Yeah, you must have.
Okay.
So it's just bucatini pasta, and it's, you know, the carbonara usually has bacon. So instead of bacon, it's his house-made duck prosciutto that he puts in there, and instead of an egg, he puts the bone marrow. So when it comes to the table, you scrape the bone marrow and mix it in. And so he was telling me about this dish, about what he wanted to do, and I, you know, again, just my... only talent is what I feel on my palate, or what I can sense on my palate, and based on what I've eaten.
That's a talent that's gotten you very far, Jordan.
Well, thank you.
Don't down it.
And so, like, he's telling me this, and I love bone marrow, so I obviously know the flavor. And my other passion is dessert wines, which I'll tell you about what I do with dessert wines. But I was thinking, my God, this sounds like Madeira would go so well with this. And then just looking, and when he first put out the dish, I got to physically see it. And I said, oh, we have to do a bone luge. And so the bone luge is
Did you steal that bone luge idea and just put your own twist on it?
Of course. Yeah, we did it at Bestia. What isn't stolen with a twist nowadays? I mean, come on. Original ideas are going down, or don't happen that much anymore.
Hell in a handbag.
But so, you know, in most bone luges around the world, they put sherry in it. And so, and for me, it's like sherry is already kind of oily. So it's kind of mixing oil with fat. And so it's just not something that's so appealing. So I had just decided that a Madeira would, you know, which is... has a lot more flavor, has a lot of nutty.
It's very full.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Full-bodied. With the fat from the bone being streaming down into your mouth.
It was so good.
Lisa.
Oh, my God. He goes... open your mouth. He goes, do you want a bone luge? I'm like, excuse me, I don't know you that well, Jordan. And he goes, no. And he comes back, he goes, I'll be right back. And he picks up the bone and he pours the wine. It looks like a slide, okay?
Yeah,
that's
exactly
the best way, right, to describe
exactly.
It? And he pours the wine. You open your mouth. He sticks the bone, you know, like a tray going into your mouth. And then he pours the alcohol down the chute, if you will.
Yeah. And isn't it a heavenly experience?
It's unbelievable. I have never seen that. And right after we did it, I Googled. So I'm like, he could not have just created this right now. I mean,
I do create.
But you did have a twist on it, because I did look at others and it wasn't the way you did.
Well, I mean, everyone forgets a lot, even in our own industry, that people go out to be entertained. you know, it's like, why do you go out and spend your money? It's, in a way, it's entertainment. You need good food, you need good wine, you need good service. And in LA, compared to New York, everyone, you know, is also on the date with the server. Like, they have to, there's so many people in LA that they have to have a good server with good personality, or the you know, it's not good.
It
in
New York, pretty funny. A bedside manner, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in New York, it's like, if a server talks to you for more than a minute, they're like, okay, that's enough. You know, that's all. Like, kind of, they turn Miranda Priestley on you in
it
a way.
It's really true.
New York, they don't want to talk to the server. It's just like, you're
what
there.
What do you want, buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Here, it's like, it's, you have to really, it's,
well,
a show.
It's a love affair here.
And so, you know, so I didn't create the bone luge, but I did create the obnoxiousness around the bone luge, which, if you remember,
he
we
ding out, bone about luge, bone luge.
And we ding the bottle and we do a whole thing. So it's kind of like,
so
yoshamaze in a Japanese restaurant.
Yeah.
So we make sure that everybody sees what it is. And
well, that's smart, because then somebody's going to ask, what was that? I want one of those.
Exactly.
Now, do you have to order the dish to get the bone luge?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the bone needs to be somewhat hot, or it doesn't taste as good.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, it's...
And tell us about your sherries you were going to tell us about.
Yeah, I'll tell you about the dessert wine program. But just to finish the bone luge thing, it became such a hit because everyone was Instagramming it that the Wall Street Journal ended up hearing about it.
What?
And they came and they did a whole feature and a video, and it was crazy. It's just
That's
insane
fabulous.
How much it's blown up. So people literally come to test to have the bucatini and do the bone
luge. Well, the bucatini is delicious. The pasta, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, it's so good.
It's so good, that pasta. I remember now we ordered like 50 things. Well, it was our first time there. We wanted to try like everything.
My dad comes to the restaurant now. He always, you know, brings my family. And so he'll always say one for me, and then you can however
for
many
else.
For them. So.
Because you do recommend that everyone share, correct?
Yes, 100%. And it's a way, and I always encourage sharing, even if it isn't my restaurant, just because it's a way you can try more dishes without
yes.
getting full.
Yeah.
And, you know, with everyone's busy schedules nowadays, it's so hard to go out, you know, even more, you know, once a week is difficult, let alone more than once a week. And so whenever I go out with my fiance, we try and order as many things as possible just to taste them. And we don't waste food, but it's bet we can always order more if you're sharing than
right.
if you have your own appetizer and your own entree. It's kind of passe at this
no,
point.
I like doing that too. So you can taste a little bit exactly.
Yes. So the dessert wine program, I actually created this at Rivera.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Okay. Go ahead, Jordan. You were filling us in about your dessert wines.
Yeah. So the dessert wine program that I created, I actually started at Rivera. And it was so successful that I said, I'm going to keep this in my back pocket. And whenever I own my own restaurant, I'll bring it back. So the hardest thing, like worldwide, for any restaurant to do is sell a glass of dessert wine. It's just like, at that point, no one's interested.
Yeah,
it's
you're kind of full from everything and
yeah.
you're drunked out.
Yeah, and everyone thinks that, you know, when you hear dessert wine, everyone thinks that it's sweet.
Yes. And it's not.
Which most are not.
Oh.
Most are not. But I was trying to think. And this was back in the day, you know, what I always, my mentors always said, throughout your life, always see what like the weakest part is. So in regards to the restaurant, it's like, what was the weakest part in sales in regards to my wine program? And it was the dessert wine program. So I had thought, what can I do to make this more appealing to the normal person? And so I said, why don't we just let them name their price and you know, make them feel comfortable, and I'll just bring them a flight. And so that's what we do. So I have this little spiel that at Tess we have over 200 dessert wines, except we do it a little differently, no list and no prices. So you name one price for the table, doesn't matter how many people, doesn't matter, just one price for the table, and I'll bring you the most memorable flight of dessert wine you've ever had. So in a way, it's, again, like a whole...
It's interactive.
Exactly.
So that makes
But it's a wow moment for a lot of people, because we bring all the bottles to the table. You
and
know.
What happens if some jerk says, $10, that's all I think
that's
this
fine.
Is?
That's fine, yeah. Then you'll get three bottles and... or, you know, you get...
Three glasses.
Three different glasses, and we explain it and do the whole show, and that's the thing. It's like, a normal glass of port is like $8, $8 or $10. So...
Right.
$10 doesn't scare us. Even $5 doesn't scare us. But obviously, the more that you say, the more and better the wines get. You know,
obviously,
so
right.
And so like I've had a lot of people come in and say $100 or $500,
whoa.
And so they get like a major show of like
I'll say.
You know, I have a port that literally has only been bottled, other than for Tess Restaurant, has only been bottled for the Queen of England. So, you know, we have like super, super rare stuff in this program. And
the
so,
Queen drinks port? I thought she only drank gin.
Well, I don't think so. She might not even have, you know, who knows if she's consumed it or not.
She does drink gin. That we know.
Okay. But there's some really cool things that we have with great stories. And I have a great psalm team that loves to execute every aspect of our program.
Isn't so, that great? And yeah. Now you're coming up on 1 year.
Yes,
can
Wednesday.
Can you believe 1 year? And I can't believe it took me like 8 months to find the place. I mean, because usually I'm on it. You don't know, Jordan. Usually new restaurant in town and this girl is on it because I am really a foodie. I don't go out to mess around. I go out to eat really good food. So I'm shocked that it took me this long to find your place. But now, of course, I've been several times.
I decided why not go crazy for one night and do a real celebration. So we're actually having a full orchestra with some incredible singers. And they're opera singers, but we're doing more than just opera. But
will you be coming out of retirement for the evening?
I might be just to do the encore. So hopefully anyone that's...
Can we hear a little bit of what you might do?
Sure. Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Okay. I said...
Oh my
God,
that's
all I'm giving you.
That's the best.
This is still early in the morning, so
that's
give me
really
the benefit
great.
Of the doubt. But
no, that you sounded fantastic.
but
I don't know what it meant or what he said, but it sounded good.
But the singers that we're going to have are uber professional. I mean, one of the guys sings like he's the right hand of Andrea Bocelli. So
I was going to say Pavarotti showing up
from his grave. I wish, but
did you ever get to meet any of your favorite opera singers?
I actually got to see Pavarotti's very last concert, which ended up being his last concert in America. It was at the Hollywood Bowl. I don't remember what, I think 2005 or 6. Like he died in 07.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to do one last concert at the Kennedy Center after that, and he canceled it because, he died of pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. But I can't believe he made it through the concert that I was at. But that's a moment I'll never forget, and I cannot even begin to tell you how appreciative I am that I got to see that. So.
Yeah, as a boy who can sing opera, I would bet. So you're going to have the opera singers, and you're going to have a full orchestra.
And then, so it's what we're doing is we're known for our wine dinners. And so wine dinners are a big thing that we do at Tess, and where you can meet the winemakers and so on and so forth. But for this, we're just going to do what I call a chef-driven wine dinner. And so what we're doing is all off-menu food items, so no one's ever seen them before. Every course that we do will be paired with a wine. And depending on where that wine is from, country-wise, that's where the music will be from. So it's
How cool is that?
So we're going to Austria, which is Mozart, and Germany, Wagner, and then France, Italy, and Spain. So it's going to be a blast.
I love it. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I can't thank you enough for getting up. I know you get up at 9, but to schlep all the way in here and do this for me, I'm really appreciative. I love your restaurant.
Thank you.
I really do. It's delicious. You're a great. I keep calling you a kid because I'm older than you, but you're a man. And a businessman.
Yes.
And I'm just really impressed.
Well, thank you.
I'm impressed at how you came up the ladder, if you will, and how you transitioned from opera to food and wine. Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of goes hand in hand.
Exactly. I always tell everybody that it's because of my experience in that world, in the opera world, that has taught me how to deal with guests at the restaurant and be humble and be respectful and... It's good upbringing for
what's
anyone.
Next? You going to open another restaurant? Because I could see it in your eyes already.
Possibly. So yeah. Tess is so far doing well. And if it keeps, you know, going well, then definitely restaurant number 2 and hopefully 3, 4, 5. You know, my dad sends me articles all the time about.
He must be so proud of you.
Yes, he is.
I mean, come on.
He is.
How could he not be? All right. Give out your social media handles, where they could, the address to Tess, phone number, whatever you people need to do. Yeah. Make a reservation.
Yes. Make a reservation. Tess Restaurant, 8500 West Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood, California. at Tess Restaurant. That's T-E-S-S-E Restaurant.
What if they have a question for you? Do you have your own social media handle?
I do, at J-O-G-R-O-N-2, J-O-G-R-O-N-2. And then the wine store is at Boutelier Wines. That's B-O-U-T-E-L-L-I-E-R Wines.
Well, like the time in your restaurant, this time just flew by.
Yes, you're right.
A year, didn't it?
Well, already a year, my God.
I mean, honestly, I really appreciate you coming in, and I can't wait to have my next bone luge. Thanks, Jordan.
My pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.